wondering as to why this woman did not even call him again. So Dr. Crane called her and asked her, "Are you ready now to go through with the divorce?" And guess what? The woman said, "Divorce? What divorce? Never, because I discovered that I really do love my husband." Now her actions change her feelings, because motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love is established not so much by fervent promise as often repeated deeds. The same is true when it comes to our love for God. My prayer for GCF Nuvali is that it will not just be a lip service. Because we know the commandment. We know the great commandment, right? Do you know the great commandment? Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know the great commandment. But my prayer is that it will not just be a lip service, but rather we will really express our love for God when it comes to service. That is our lesson this afternoon. To love God is to serve Him. May I invite all of you to please stand and in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, and the Word of God says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care. Take care, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by His name you shall swear." May God be praised for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again we ask Your Spirit to move mightily in our midst. Lord, we ask that You speak to us this afternoon in a special way. Lord, speak to us through Your Word. Help us, Lord, to understand the great commandment that is to love You, and that is our main motivation why we are going to serve You. Help us, Lord God, to really understand that, and then, Lord, most importantly, put it into action. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. Our passage is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy is part of what we call the Jewish tradition. It is called the Torah, or what we call the Pentateuch. And the Pentateuch is composed of five books, namely Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the word Deuteronomy, or the name Deuteronomy, it came from the Septuagint. Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And the word Deuteronomy, it's a two word. The Greek word deuteros, it means second, and then the Greek word nomos, which means law. So putting it together, Deuteronomy means the second law, or the copy of the law. Now, here's the question: what is the purpose of this copy, especially the whole book of Deuteronomy? Remember, the Israelites, or the Hebrew people, they were enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. Take note of that, okay? 430 years they were enslaved in Egypt. And God, through the leadership of Moses, brought them out of Egypt. The story is in the book of Exodus. Now we will call them the Exodus generation. And remember, because they keep on complaining while they were in the wilderness, remember the story? They keep on complaining, the earth swallowed them. Now, here's the children of this Exodus generation. Now, we call them the Deuteronomy generation. Or meaning, here's a second generation. That is why Moses need to give them the second copy or a copy of the law. Because the first one, it was during the Exodus, they were already died in the wilderness. Here's a second generation. So they need, so Moses need again to repeat to them the law that was given by the Lord in Mount Sinai. So here, the passage, the very command here, or this new generation, is this is a call of an allegiance to Yahweh. That is the whole, the big idea of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is telling them, hey, put your allegiance to Yahweh, the one who brought you out of slavery in Egypt. Now let us look at the great commandment. This is what we commonly know as the great commandment. We must love God wholeheartedly. In verse 5, look at what the word of God says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now the word love in Hebrew language, it refers to a covenant commitment demonstrated in action. Let me repeat the meaning of the word love. Okay, in the Hebrew language, in the Hebrew mind, it means it's a covenant commitment demonstrated in action. So it is not just a lip service. It must be demonstrated through action. So Moses here was calling the Israelites who went out of Egypt to love God on the premise that He alone is God. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord, is one. There is no other God besides Him. It is only Yahweh. So you need to put your allegiance to Yahweh and Yahweh alone. Put your full devotion on Him and Him alone. And you shall love Him with all of your heart, soul, and might. Now, what's the emphasis there for the word love? Look at the qualifiers, okay, that Moses gave. Heart, soul, and might. With all of your heart. Heart in the Hebrew mind, it speaks about the inner person. Because today we understand heart as just emotion. But in a Hebrew mind, it's the inner person. What do I mean by inner person? It involves the mind, the will, the thought, and then the emotion. It's not just the emotion. Okay. So in a Hebrew mind, they understood when Moses said, love Him with all of your heart, with all of your inner being. That is what Moses is trying to say, even for us today. Not only with all of your heart, he said, with all of your soul. And in Hebrew, the word soul, it means breath. It means desire. And the significance of that word breath, it means life. Our very life, all the desires of life should be focused on God. So love Him with our inner being. Love Him with all of our life. And not only that, because we're just talking about our inner self. Okay? The third one is with all of our might. Now we're talking about outwardly. Because the word might in Hebrew, it means strength in the highest degree. And one scholar said, it includes physical strength. And not only physical strength, it also includes economic and social strength. And it may also extend to the physical things for the Israelites, about their tools, their livestock, their house, and the like. Now, for us today in our context, what does it mean to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and might? It means we need to love God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. I'm speaking about the entire person. With every arena of our lives, we need to love Him. We must love Him. Every area of our lives. When it comes to our mind, we should be fully devoted to Him. When it comes to our emotion, it should be based on God's Word. When it comes to our substance, we need to understand that it's all His. We are just mere managers, so we need to take care of all the resources that God has entrusted to us. love Him with all of our heart, soul, and might. Our full devotion, our allegiance, everything should revolve around Him. Our life should revolve around Him. When it comes to your work, do the right thing. Because you must love Him even in your work. In your school, you need to study hard. The main motivation is your love for God. Love Him. Whatever profession you are into, you are to love Him. Your life should revolve around God. I met my mentor, Pastor Lito Villoria, 2 weeks ago. We met at Ortigas. And somehow he gently reminded me that God is after my being and not my doing. Why did he say all of those things? Because he somehow saw in my Facebook account that I'm everywhere with all of these things, the activities that I am doing. He said, "Erwin, I'm just reminding you of the mandate. Love Him with all of your heart, soul, and might." Because that is the mandate. We cannot do the mission if we're not doing the mandate. The motivation for the mission is the mandate. The mandate is to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and might. And the mission is to make disciples. And we cannot do disciple making if we do not love Him. So that is why he gently reminded me about this, because somehow if I am misaligned with the mandate, then definitely I cannot do the mission. So I need to align myself with the mandate. And that is also my challenge to all of you. You need to align yourself to the mandate, and that is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might. And did you know that if everything that we do, if the motivation is our love for God, then definitely we will be faithful to Him. But if we are misaligned with the mandate, let me share to you my story, okay? Here's what will happen to us if we are misaligned with the mandate. Here's my experience this week. As I'm also meditating on this passage, I know that when it comes to my studies, because I am pursuing higher education in theology, I am having a hard time with my Greek class. It really sounds Greek to me. You know the saying? It sounds Greek to me. Okay? Why? Because I am a conceited person. Because first, I thought that even without listening to my professor, just looking at the notes, looking at the books, I can understand and I can take the quizzes, I can take the exam. And also, worse, I have to confess this, I'm beginning to look at my classmate who is also a pastor, because the competitiveness in me kicks in, because we have this group chat inside this school, okay? And he is somehow, you know, telling his score, his grade. Okay, ito ah. Sabi ko, kailangan mas mataas ako dito. Yeah. Hindi ako papayag na mas mababa ako dito. That became my motivation in studying Greek language. Just do kami magkaklase eh. Now, because of that, I am somehow misaligned with the mandate. My motivation is to be better than him when it comes to grade. You know what? The Lord humbled me. All of my exam, I just have, you know, the 50% of the exam. If it's 1 to 10, I just get 5. For 1 to 20 question, I only get 10. So right now, I'm just praying for a C to my Greek class. I'm no longer after the A in Greek class. Lord, just pass me, Lord, please, by your grace. Help me to pass. Because I lose my focus. Instead of me focusing on, my love, why are you doing this, Erwin? Why are you studying? First, I need to understand, Lord, because I love you, so that I can equip the church. That's why I am studying. It's not for me to become better than others. Because the main motivation should be my love for God. Everything that we do, the main motivation is our love for Him. That is why here's the command for us from the scripture. Love God with all of your heart, soul, and might, with your whole being, with all your life. So I hope and pray that you learn from that story. Don't wait for God to humble you. Love Him. The main motivation why we do things, why you are working, why you are studying, why you are serving God is our love for Him. Everything we do, again, love of God and our love for Him. That is the why. Okay? To love Him is to serve Him. Again, the great man, the mandate is the great commandment. Love God with all of your heart, soul, and might. And this should not stop to us because we need to pass it on. Look at what Moses said to these people. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now the words, these words that I command you, of course, in the overall context, it refers to verse 1 of chapter 6, wherein Moses said, now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. And what are these rules? In verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's sons, or your children's children, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Now, moving on in verse 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That's why he is calling them, love him, fear him, serve him alone. And the immediate context of these commandments is in verse 5. Love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Actually, what Moses is trying to say to them is that you need to internalize this, folks. Hey, listen, you need to internalize this. You should not only memorize this, but you should internalize this. That is why he said, I command you today, this command shall be on your heart. Memorization and internalization is a different thing. If you memorize, it just involves your mind. But when you internalize, it involves your will to obey. That's why Moses said, this shall be upon your heart. You need to internalize this command. And not only that, you need to internalize this command. He said, pass it on. Teach it. Look at what he said. Teach them diligently. Do you see that word? Diligently. The word diligently, actually, it's interesting in the Hebrew language because it means to repeat or to recite again and again. That is the word diligent means in the Hebrew language, to recite again and again. So they need to keep on repeating to their children, to their children's children, hey, love God with all of your heart, soul, and might. They need to recite it again and again. And look at the emphasis of this so that we can see the meaning of diligent here. Look at what Moses said. I think that's the whole picture of reciting it again and again. Did you see that? He said, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, you shall bind them on your as a sign of your hand, you shall put it at the frontlets of your eye, you shall put it at your doorpost. That's the picture of the word diligent, to recite again and again. That is how serious the mandate is. Now, during the time of Moses, they actually did that, literally. Okay? During their time, they will put, actually they call it the Shema. Shema is, they put the Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love Him with all of your heart, soul, and might. And they will put it at the frontlets of their foreheads. And I will not going to ask you, okay, to do that. I will not ask you to write on a piece of paper and then you will put it on your foreheads, okay, in order for you to memorize it. Because again, the emphasis here is that we need to reflect on this. We need to internalize this and then pass it on. We need to teach our children with this. And I do believe that this is a reminder again from the Lord not only to you, but also to me as well. Because I have a confession to make to you. I admit, okay, that I am not a good example when it comes to this, passing it on to my children. Yes, I do study the Word of God. I even pursue higher education. I even prepare Sunday after Sunday for sermon. I even prepare for, you know, invitation to preach and to teach other people. But I admit before you that I am not doing this to my own family. That is why this passage really spoke to my heart, that God speaks through this passage, spoke through this passage to my heart, that, hey, Erwin, you are preparing sermon after sermon after sermon every Sunday, and yet you are not doing this to your family. I'm talking to the parents here. Remember, this is our responsibility. Yes, I understand that there is the church. We have Sunday school. We have youth programs. But this is our responsibility to teach to our children to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might. And I admit before you that I am not a good example. So why am I saying this? So that you will follow up on me. Keep on following up. Pastor Erwin, are you now discipling your family? Because that is my promise to my family, because that is what my wife even told me, that I need to spare time with them every Monday to just be with them and teach my kids about who God is and what He has done. Come to think of it, now I'm realizing it. I'm so busy proclaiming the Word of God here in GCF Nuvali, outside, and even on the radio station, and yet I am not doing it with my family. So when I'm beginning to meditate on this, again, the Lord rebuked me with this passage. We need to have family devotion. That is also my challenge to you, my dear brothers and sisters. You need to have a family devotion. Family devotion. And how are you going to do this? Let me just give you some practical tips. And I got this from Bible.org. on how to have family devotions. Easy. 3 steps. First, you need to read God's Word. Then you have discussion. Then you have prayer time. Read God's Word. Read a chapter or a portion of a scripture, like what we are doing here every Sunday, a passage. Okay? Or even you can use devotional books. You can buy it, Experiencing God by Blackaby and other devotional. Read a passage that was assigned on that day. Read it aloud with your children. And after you read a passage, discussion. Discuss it. Maybe here's a guide questions to you. You can ask, what is happening? What happened? And what is happening now? And what can we learn from this passage? How can we apply this passage in our present situation right now? And by the way, you need to encourage kids to have questions. Encourage them to question you. If you don't know the answer, tell them honestly, I don't know the answer. I will research on that. Next week, I will come back to you and I will answer you. We need to have family devotion. We need to have a discussion about the Word of God, about who God is and what He has done. And then end it with the prayer time. Our guide, if you don't know, Pastor, how will I lead my family in prayer? Here's a good guide. The acronym ACTS. A-C-T-S. That's very easy to memorize. A-C-T-S. A, adoration. Start by praising the Lord. Second, confession. Then you confess your sins to God. Then T, thanksgiving. And then S is supplication. Then that's the time that you ask for your needs for your family. Or even ask for the needs of your kids. Then pray for them. Parents, fathers, mothers, we need to do this. Yes, we are partnered with this. Again, we have Sunday school, we have youth program, but let me tell you, the main responsible for this is us, the parents, the fathers. We are the spiritual leaders. Often we want to hear, hey, wives, submit to your husbands, and then, husband, here's your responsibility as to why your wife will submit to you. You need to love and lead your family. So it's our responsibility, husbands, the fathers, to lead a family devotion, to pass it on. Let our children know who God is and what He has done, and let us tell them you need to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might. I do believe that is what is lacking to us today, especially in our modern day age, what we call the postmodern, especially in our colleges. That is why there are a lot of atheists. They are saying to themselves that they are atheists. Why? I think some of it are because of the parents, because we do not pass on what we have learned. I think it's about time that for us parents to pass it on, to have a family devotion. Now that we know the mandate, okay? Again, the mandate is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might. That is the big why. Okay? That is the why we serve, or why we do everything that we do. Especially here in the context of GCF Nuwali, why are we doing all of these things? It is because of love. The love of God and our love for God. So here, the last point is that we need to express this love. Remember the word love in Hebrew? Okay? In Hebrew, it means a covenant commitment demonstrated in action. That is why to love God is to serve Him. We need to love Him by serving Him. Look at verses 10 to 13. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, cisterns that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear, and Him, look at that, Him you shall serve, and by His name you shall swear. At this point in time, they were not yet in the promised land. Remember that it was through the leadership of Joshua, that's why they were able to enter the promised land. At this time, they were there at the plains of Moab, about to enter the promised land, and Moses was just reminding them, remember, when you get into the promised land, remember this. Okay? Notice what he said. You did not build, you did not fill, you did not dig, and you did not plant. First, he is reminding them, hey, the promised land, it was only given to you by grace. You did not deserve it. But it's only by grace. Okay? It's the Lord who gave it to you. Okay, when you enter the promised land, that's why here's a reminder, you did not work for it. It was only given to them. That's why he said, take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is the very reason why we need to be diligent in reminding ourselves and the entire household, because it's easy for us to forget who God is and what He has done in our lives. So we need to keep on reciting again and again who God is and what He has done. Yahweh was the one who brought them out of slavery. That is why He is their master. He is their Lord, and they should serve Him and Him alone. And He said, Him you shall serve. Again, the word serve, it means to worship, to minister, to give your energy, and to give your full devotion to God. That is what the word serve means. So in view of what he has done, Moses is calling them to serve God and God alone. Now what about for us? I want us to understand, yes, for the Israelites, God has brought them out of slavery from Egypt. But what about for us today? Let me just remind you with this. Remember John chapter 3 verse 16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but will have eternal life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So because of God's love, because of His mercy, and because of His grace, church, He also brought us out of slavery. This time around, not slavery in Egypt, but slavery of sin. If you already profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are no longer slave to sin, but you are now slave to righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, here's what the Apostle Paul said, "And having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness." So because of the love of God, He has set us free from the slavery of sin. So because of the love of God and because of our love, what are we going to do? Just like the Israelites, we are being called to serve Him and Him alone. We need to express our love, not only a lip service, but we need to demonstrate it through our action. We are called to love Him by serving Him. Let me just show to you, I think we have a video clip there, a testimony of our workers here in GCF.
Oh, let's clap our hands before the Lord.
Hi, I'm Faith Coloma and I am part of the multimedia team.
Hi, I'm Seth Felix. Presently, I am the coordinator for the youth ministry and also a group facilitator.
Hi, I'm Tita Army. I'm one of the ushers here in GCF Nobody. Sometimes or most of the times you can see me at 10 a.m. ushering.
Hi, I'm Elisha and I serve in the ministry of GCF.
Parang worth it lahat. So, kahit mahirap, kahit nagpupuyat ka, enjoy. Kasi, ano eh, hindi naman ito para sa'yo, hindi naman ito para sa mga tao. Parang learn
ka. I say that there are things that I still have to learn, especially dealing with the spiritual needs of the youth. Like, how to handle struggles and challenges that they are facing, and also the discipline that they need for them to be consistent in their spiritual growth and for them to be involved also in the ministry.
In this season of life, sabi nga, nasa twilight years na, every day ang prayer kay Lord, use me in my thoughts, in my action, in words, na lahat ng gagawin ko, Lord, sana mag-glorify ang iyong pangalan. That's why I keep on serving Him. May joy sa aking puso na ginagawa ko ang pagka-usher every Sunday.
While I was serving in the ministry, it was really fulfilling that I get to use the talent that God has given me to serve Him and glorify Him for the
yung pag-serve. And na-realize ko din na nagsiserve ako hindi dahil on team workers kundi gusto ko maging intentional team.
Ministry is a privilege. It is an outflow of life. The more we grow, the more we can give. Whenever I start to commit and serve, I do my best for the Lord. Because I believe that when God puts
in serving the Lord, I have learned na hindi ma-focus sa aking sarili kung ano ang aking ginagawa, kundi maibigay lahat ang aking makakaya para makapag-serve sa Lord.
I learned that you just really have to fix your eyes on the purpose why you are serving, because there are times when it will be discouraging and it will be hard to actually make time for it, but you just have to remember that you're doing everything that you're doing for the audience you want, and you're doing it for the Lord.
I hope you are all encouraged with that. And again, that is my—that's the call of the GCF New Valley Church, that we are inviting all of you to serve. Because I saw this this quote, and I hope this is not true with GCF New Valley. Let me show you a quote from a Sunday Express in London. It says there, most people wish to serve God, but, okay, there's a but in an advisory capacity only. So my prayer is that we will really serve Him. Let's express our love for God in action. That is my prayer. And how can we do this? Again, I'm inviting all of you. Okay, after the service, please do sign up. We will equip you. We have a 201 and then the 301. The 301 is about the spiritual gifts. And more than discovering our spiritual gifts through paper, because we will have a exam there now so that we will know our gifting. But more than that, here's what you need to do. In order for you to discover where you fit in here in GCF New Valley, try all the ministry. Try all the ministry. Okay? Try the exalting ministry. Now, di ba? Sabi ko ka kaninang umaga, kung alam nyo naman, di ba, na wala talagang boses, sa usher pwede po doon. Di ba? Okay naman tayo doon. Alam na, wag na natin subukan dyan. Sa ushering pwede po yan. Diba? And we have so many ministries here in GCF New Valley. So again, I am inviting all of you. Yes, our main motivation why we serve is our love for God. And we should show our love, we should express our love by serving Him. So to love God is to serve Him. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of your word. Thank you, Lord God, that we learn, especially the great commandment, that we are here, Lord, to love you. That's the mandate, to love you with all of our heart, soul, and might. And Lord, because we love you, we need to express this through action. So, Father, in the context of serving here in GCF New Valley, I pray that you will just move everyone here, each one of us, to really serve you through